Founded in 1995, the Texas Freedom Network is America's largest state-based religious freedom organization. Unlike many of the groups we like to feature on the Pod Delusion, the Texas Freedom Network does not promote an anti-religious agenda, more a strictly constitutional separation of church and state. And I can't think of anywhere in the United States where that kind of message is needed more than in the state of Texas, where a school board dominated by religious fundamentalists has rewritten educational guidelines in such a way as to promote right-wing and Protestant dogma in the classroom. The Texas Freedom Network has recently concluded a study of teaching methods used in Texan Bible classes. The findings were astonishing. Kooks and fundamentalists had taken over the classroom. Kids were being taught that Judaism was an incomplete religion and were given supplementary lesson materials sourced from sites like raptureready.org. I began by asking Dan Quinn, the Texas Freedom Network's communications director, just who let these crazy people into Texan public school classrooms?
You know, in the United States, we have in the Constitution a very strict separation of church and state. Now, there are many people in the United States who oppose that and, in fact, think that the Constitution does not protect separation of church and state. But regardless, the courts have said that. The courts also allow public schools to teach courses about the influence of the Bible in history and literature, sort of a cultural literacy course, provided that the courses are academic in nature and not devotional. Our report found that many of these courses are very devotional. The big problem is the teachers teaching these courses don't know what they're doing. They're not getting the training they need about how to do this in an academically and legally appropriate way. And in many cases, then they just fall back on their own personal religious instruction. And that allows a lot of religious bias in these classrooms and, frankly, a lot of fringe nonsense.
Nonsense seems to be the right word. Some of the materials that your study observed were being used in classes really are quite shocking. I can't use any other word. One document used in a classroom explains that people of Africa should be thought of as Canaanites, a people forever cursed by God because their ancestors saw Noah in the nude. This particular biblical interpolation has been used to justify racism and even slavery. It's also utter nonsense, isn't it? Are there really no controls that could stop this kind of material in classes?
Well, there are some controls. The unfortunate thing is they're not being implemented. The legislature in Texas in 2007 passed a bill that included a number of guidelines that my organization helped put into the bill that would help these schools do this in a better way and leave that kind of nonsense out. One is teacher training. Train teachers how to do these courses in a legally and an academically appropriate way. We also wanted very specific curriculum standards from the state that would help guide these districts about what's worthwhile in teaching these courses. If you really want a course about the cultural importance of the Bible in history and literature, then guide the school districts in how to do this in the right way. Don't just throw the door open and let them run out and hire ministers and other folks who just come in and teach these courses from their own religious point of view. The problem that we've seen, of course, is many of these courses teach the kind of stuff you're talking about. When you've got classes teaching students that the origins of racial diversity are Noah's sons, which, as you said, is a long-discredited concept that races have used to justify slavery, or you have classes teaching students that the Jews killed Jesus, which, of course, was long used to promote persecution of Jews, you've got a real problem. You also have a problem with the academic quality of these courses. This should also be offensive to people of faith themselves because it doesn't give a study of the Bible the respect that it deserves. In fact, it makes it a joke.
The state of Texas has historically had a very important role in setting the entire nation's educational agenda. Can you explain a little bit about why what happens in Texas affects not only Texan kids, but potentially school kids in the entire continent?
In the United States, education policies are essentially a state and local responsibility. The federal government can get involved in some ways, and you know, maybe some funding and some other guidelines. But for the most part, each state decides how it's going to run its education system. And that includes how it's going to purchase its textbooks and other materials that students use, because Texas is so large population-wise, we essentially dominate the textbook market in the country. So publishers will create their textbooks and materials for this state and then sell essentially the same materials to schools across the country. In a Bible course, because it's not a required course in every school district, there's probably a little bit less influence along those lines because there are fewer schools here buying it. But largely, Texas has become very influential in most of the core curriculum that you'd see taught in most schools across the country. That's become problematic in a number of ways. In history and government classes, for example, we have curriculum standards in Texas that religious conservatives have forced onto the books that require students to learn that separation of church and state may in fact not be a key principle of the Constitution, that promote religious conservative propaganda, essentially, in many cases. And then they expect textbook publishers to create textbooks that teach that. And then, of course, those textbooks will then be used in schools across the country. What happens in Texas doesn't stay in Texas when it comes to textbooks. The craziness that goes into our classrooms here makes its way into classrooms across the country.
I've noticed that the whole idea of religious freedom has been reframed. It used to mean a freedom of the individual citizens from interference and proselytizing from government organizations. And now it sort of means the freedom of government organizations to proselytize and interfere with citizens' religious beliefs.
Yeah, in many cases, the religious right in this country is not a religious movement, it's a political movement. And the goal of that political movement is to use government as a tool to promote their own religious perspective over those of all others. They see the United States as a uniquely Christian nation with a government and laws based on their particular reading of the Bible. The founders of this country, of course, didn't see it that way at all. Many of them made it very explicit that government should stay out of this and that government has no role promoting or disparaging any particular religion. And that also means schools. The unfortunate thing is in these courses, we're now seeing that separation, that really important protection for religious freedom, cast aside, in some cases deliberately, in other cases because teachers simply know not what they do, to borrow the biblical phrase. I mean, they, and through no fault of their own, they're not given the training that they need. They don't have the materials that they need to teach a good course. And so they fall back on their own religious training. And whether they want to or not, their own religious training, their own religious beliefs, then become what they're teaching in the classroom.
If you want to find out more about the Texas Freedom Network, you can follow the link in our show notes on poddelusion.co.uk. And you might also want to check out a major new documentary which follows the work of the Texas Freedom Network and other groups and individuals campaigning for church-state separation in Texas. It's called The Revisionaries, and we'll post a link to that as well. This is Salim Fadli for The Pod Delusion.